This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. DoorDash, your door to more.
You know who came in handy over our wedding weekend? DoorDash. We were in Savannah getting married, beautiful weekend, but obviously with a baby and a lot going on with planning a wedding, there was a lot of little things we forgot, like batteries. Also, we had a little late night party with some friends, DoorDash some alcohol. It was amazing, you know, when you're, especially when you're in a city that you're not from, well, now he's familiar with Savannah, but you don't have all the convenience of travel and things like that. There is nothing better than having DoorDash by your side to send out and have whatever you need basically delivered right to your door, whether it's food, whether it's snacks, whether it's batteries, whether it's alcohol. DoorDash has you covered.
One of my favorite things about DoorDash is when you are leaving somewhere and you're so hungry and you're like, okay, I'm going to order DoorDash. And by the time I get home,
boom,
it's at the door.
I'm ready.
Hot
it's
and ready.
So good. So whether you're sick at home, you need to restock alcohol for that party, or you just need some essentials that you just don't feel like going out late at night, DoorDash has you covered. DoorDash, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to get almost anything delivered. Must be 21 years or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets. What's going on, everybody? Happy 4th of July. I hope you had a good 4th of July. I hope it was safe. Hope there weren't any firework accidents or...
Yeah.
You shook your head like...
Oh, no. Like, I preemptively know that I will have had a firework accident. No, I was just saying, it's like, that's crazy. Like, how, yeah, every, like, 3 years, I feel like I end up way too close to fireworks unexpectedly.
Yeah.
From strangers.
So
I mean, I feel like, Nick, you're from the Midwest, like a Midwest 4th of July. It's unhinged to the point where we go for the 4th of July. They light off fireworks from like a floating barge in the middle of the lake. And frequently the barge will just catch on fire and then they have to get another boat to like tow it home. And people are like diving into the water to avoid dying.
It can, yeah. You know, if you drive into Wisconsin, the first thing you see for the first like... 6 miles or firework truck stop, like fireworks and cheese. Fireworks and cheese. You can buy a lot of fireworks and cheese as you enter into Wisconsin.
Same with Indiana.
It's, I think it's usually, it's a Midwest thing.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. A couple things, housekeeping things for this week. Well, obviously it's the holiday week. I'm currently in Europe. If you're checking out my Instagram, we did record this intro ahead of time. For those of you listening to our freestyle and going deeper, specifically going deeper, we've done mediation calls. We've also done office hours, which have been a big hit. Mediation calls are sometimes a challenge to get two people, but we recorded a bunch of mediation calls that we just haven't like played yet. So with this holiday being what it is and people traveling, we thought we would just give a special mediation episode. So instead of going deeper this week, it's some really great mediation calls. So all you Ask Nick listeners out there, make sure you tune in to Wednesday's episode. Some really good couples talking about their issues, working through them, you know, some fun, some deep, some heavy, some sweet. So don't miss that. And tomorrow will be... more of the bachelor bios. I think it will be the second part of the bachelor bios that we don't finish from the week before. So part two of bachelor bios and previews of the upcoming season. So don't miss that. And then next week we are back to
our programming as usual, regularly
Bachelorette.
Scheduled.
Yeah, plus the premiere of the Bachelorette. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So we're back. Bachelor off season is no longer.
We needed an off season.
We did.
It was a marathon.
And I got to say, thank everyone for making this off season our best one yet. I mean, our show has never been more popular. Now we'll just have to squeeze the Bachelorette in, you know, but we will for them. But we've matured.
And, yeah. We have new horizons.
New horizons. So what a successful off season for us. Anything else we wanted to discuss?
So I was editing some TikToks yesterday from episode 436. And Nick, you were talking to a caller who had kind of that really long list of everything she was looking for in a boyfriend.
Yeah.
everything from, you know, education to well-traveled to had
she wanted to read certain books, you know, well-read, yeah, you know,
so many things going on. And you had a very good, you know, I don't like to make lists. I think you should be, you know, prioritizing other things. So I did a deep dive, and there is a term called prioridating. And I read this article, and a dating coach / eHarmony relationship expert, her name is Laurel House. She said before COVID, her clients had a laundry list of traits they wanted in a partner. And now people are honing in on what really matters to them. So she calls this shift prioridating, and she encourages her clients to go after a single priority with potential partners, whether it's physical, emotional, or financial. And she also said that daters are finding themselves having deeper conversations because of COVID, because it started opening up the door of like, how seriously are you taking it? Like, what precautions are you taking? And she said, quote, people are having these real scary, historically scary conversations. Now it's not scary because now it's like, well, I know me. I know my needs. I'm confidently, vulnerably, unapologetically aware of my needs. And I thought that was an interesting shift because of COVID. And I also think it's interesting that she only lets them prioritize like one thing. So I was wondering what your guys' kind of one thing would be if you had a dating coach or someone working for a dating site tell you that you could really only pick one.
Well, I thought that was interesting, but it wouldn't be finances, you know, like what's that one thing? Well, money. That sounds kind of superficial and list building. That's just me. I could be wrong there.
I think if you have a history of like I have a lot of matchmaking clients who like if they've been divorced, like they had a history of a partner having real financial trouble. So I think it's usually like a response to a lack of like security or
that I get. But I still feel like your one thing should be just like your emotional needs being met, which I feel like is something that when often we're dating, we don't hone in on or focus on early on. And to like a lot of things I think Ellie was referring to is just like being comfortable with having some of these conversations so many people avoid early on in dating. I think as you get older, you're comfortable with who you are. And like, yeah, you always want to be a better person. You always want to work on yourself. But there is a certain level of like, this is who I am for better or worse, and that's okay. And to a certain level of when you're early on in dating, letting that person know, this is who I am. You know, whether that's like I can an introverted person at times who can like you know, be a little aloof or whatever. I'll always work on it. But like, just so you know, this
is what you're working with.
There's a delta. Like, there's a certain range of improvement. But like, if you hate some of these aspects, I'm not your guy, kind of thing. And I think having some of those honest conversations early on are really beneficial. But yeah, I don't know. I think what's for me to answer your question. Yeah, I think I'd want to have some version of that conversation. Like, I mean, Natalie and I had these, like when I was pretty open with Natalie about like when we started like talking about like, yeah, I mean, I'm this and that. I want to work on this and that, but like, just so you know, like, you might never not have to like remind me of this. And if this is like a non-negotiable for you, I might not be your person, you know? And I think being able to say that and have that person say, okay, makes you feel accepted for who you are, which I think a lot of people early in relationships don't get to that place until long after they started dating.
Yeah, they don't give their partners the chance to accept them for who they are of fear that it won't work.
Sure, they won't, you know? And they might not have even accepted who they are yet, you know?
Totally.
Sometimes you haven't really been like, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can be this way.
Or yeah, I'm like judging the shit out of myself in these areas. And it's so normalized that I don't necessarily clock it all the time.
Yeah.
But I clearly, yeah, have a lack of acceptance.
What are the other things besides finance and emotions?
She said to pick something, whether it's physical, emotional, or financial.
Physical, like emotional, or financial.
Those are like the three kind of main columns, but obviously you could pick anything within that and what you want specifically. Oh, also the fourth one she sees the most often is safety.
I like that. I feel like that's lines with emotional. But the physical and the financial, like obviously physical is important and quality of life matters, but I feel like those are like fairly easily, like, are you physically attracted to them?
Well, the way I understand the dating priority, is it dating priorities?
Prioridating.
Prioridating is like, kind of like, what's your weed out course? Because obviously just because someone has this one quality doesn't mean that everything else is going to align. But what is the one thing that you know you're not really going to wiggle on that's pretty essential? And then there's, of course, like the rest of the getting to know you, compatibility. Do we have a similar sense of humor, et cetera?
Yeah, because I feel like this, when you say prioritizing, you say emotional needs, that registers with me because it's you focusing on your emotional needs while you are dating whatever person. Are my needs being met? Because I feel like that is something many people don't consider. They are thinking about, like, do I think they're attractive? Do I like their job? Do they make me laugh? You know, like, which, okay, sure. Like, you know, someone can be funny on any given time. You know, do I find them exciting? You know, or they talk about this, like, spark or whatever. And they very rarely think about how many people we talk to on a regular basis will talk about, like, this person they started dating and they sound miserable and confused and sad and depressed. But, like, but I really
and Nick
like them.
Always asks, what do you like what about like them? And it's the most confusing question.
And they're always like, I mean, like, they make me laugh.
We have fun.
You know, it's always the same thing. So clearly people aren't focusing on that, which I do think that would be something to prioritize. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think it requires you knowing what you want for yourself and you knowing how you want to feel and being confident. Like a lot of callers that we've asked, you know, was it okay that I feel this way? Because, you know, at times we're so understanding that we don't want to be pushy. We don't want to be, I didn't feel like I was being pushy to Natalie when I was like, this is who I am. I'll always want to get better. These are things I need to work on, but these are my strengths. I excel at this, great at this, awesome at this. This, weak, I'm weak. Hmm. And I can tell you, I'll work on it and I'll tell you I'll get a lot better, but just upfront expectations, I'm a little not good at that.
I feel like mine is somebody who's like shares the kind of like teammate companionship mentality and is like reliable and grounded. Cause I think I can be excitable and I like to meet new people and seek out experiences and kind of run my mouth and say some wacky shit. And I feel like I really want someone who is like the balance to that of like maybe less exciting but more stable, I think. I don't know. I've said this before on the show, but I heard something that really changed my – I was like, this is what dating is, where they were like, it's the test of, is this a person you would want to sue the school board with if they're not correctly accommodating your child with disabilities? Like, that is the kind of things that you have to do with marriage. Like, sure. These really, like, difficult – unfun, complicated, stressful tasks. And so I think it's...
But you want someone that makes you feel grounded.
Not who makes me feel grounded, because I think that's my job, but someone who is...
Helps you feel grounded?
Someone who, like, who appreciate... who...
Why is it your job? Maybe that's not a strength of yours.
I just don't think... It scares me to rely on some... or to outsource
Well, that's
that.
What I'm saying, to rely. It's not their job, but occasionally it's nice to have someone who appreciates all the sides that you have, but is capable of grounding you at times and has the patience and the skill set to do so.
100%.
Because that makes you feel probably safer.
Yeah, I also think so much about partnership through the lens of family and wanting to have kids. And so I also think that's very important.
Can you guys sue the school board together?
Yeah. Gotcha. Allie, what's yours?
I feel like mine would be safety. That like really resonates with me. And that's like, the guy that I'm currently into, I would describe as makes me feel safe. And I was like, that's so boring. This should be like the fun, crazy stage.
Who
and I'm
is
like,
this
no,
guy you're currently into?
Safe. We'll talk about him another time.
Okay.
Are you seeing him soon?
But who knows? He'll be revealed maybe in a couple weeks.
All right. Well, we anxiously await. All right. Well, enjoy this episode. Well, we already told you what this week's all about. Enjoy. Has summer got you feeling sweaty? Well, cool down with Brooke Linen's 15% off site-wide summer savings event happening now. The deals are hot, but their sheets, towels, and beach essentials are breezy. Yeah, they have like an all-season comforters too. I've been sleeping in Brooke Linen for, well, years. It's been a truly dream come true for me. Hot girl summer is literally in full swing, and Brooke Linen, the homes of the internet's favorite sheets, is here to keep you cool with their 15% off sale happening now. They have amazing sheets. They also have new colors in their towels. I checked out the Brooke Linen store over in Santa Monica. It was like a pop-up.
Ooh.
And they have, I got a whole new shopping list of things I'm going to get. But yeah, they have more selection than styles in terms of colors with their hand towels and beach towels. Again, the list goes on. It's all amazing things. And their loungewear, some amazing stuff for both women and men. It's truly amazing. So whether you're shopping for yourself, maybe the men in your life, it makes a great gift.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. I noticed how soft the hand towels were in your guest bathroom.
Yeah. I think with Brooke Linen, you can be on a budget and still look like you have a highly curated home.
100%.
Listening after the sale? Well, you can still save. Visit brooklinen.com and use promo code VIALL for $20 off your purchase of $100 plus free shipping. That's brooklinen.com, promo code VIALL. And to all my LA listeners, come see and feel the comfort in real life. Like I said, you can now shop Brooke Linen sheets, towels, and more in person at their new Santa Monica store. It's a very beautiful location. Check out all their stuff. I've been in there. Maybe you'll see me. I don't know. It's possible. I do love them. Check it out. All your non-coffee drinkers, well, I have an alternative for you. It's called Mudwater. And it's also incredibly healthy for you because coffee... it has a lot of caffeine.
You can get the shakes.
Get the shakes.
All that good stuff.
Well, what if you got a little pick-me-up without those shakes? Because we're talking about Mudwater with four adaptogenic mushrooms and Ayurvedic herbs. With 1/7 the caffeine as a cup of coffee, you get energy without the anxiety jitters or crash of coffee.
Well, I did it just straight. I did it with just like the Mudwater powder and I put it with water, but it also came with little packets of sweetener, or there was even, I think, like a coconut, like a non-dairy additive, which I can't have dairy, so that's great. And you just mix it all together. Came with one of those little fun, you know, the things I'm talking about, little spinners.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
those are great.
Yeah.
I think my favorite ingredients are all the herbs. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got turmeric for soreness, cinnamon for antioxidants, lion's mane for alertness.
Who knew?
Mud is Whole 30 approved. It's 100% USA organic. It's non-GMO. It's gluten-free. It's vegan. It's kosher certified. Mudwater allows you to build a morning ritual that promotes sustained energy without the crash. We all need that. Let's get a healthy alternative to our mornings. Go to Mudwater. That's MUDWTR.com/VIALL to support the show and use code VIALL for 15. That's 15% off. How's it going?
Good. I'm Camilla and I'm 27.
Hi, Camilla. How can I help?
Okay. So I have been dating my boyfriend for almost 2 years now. And we have been living together for like 9 months. We kind of do like a sort of long distance because he works at sea. So he comes and goes. When he's home, he's like fully home. He's like on vacation. And it's been working really well because we live in Costa Rica. So, and I'm from Costa Rica. So I have like my friends and my family here when he's away. So I don't really feel it as much. It's not that hard. We've been really good with that. But logistically, we've been thinking about what we want to do longer term because he doesn't speak any Spanish. He's from the UK originally. And it's a struggle for us to settle here, like in terms of finances, in terms of him being able to make friends. And so long term, we've been thinking about maybe moving to the UK. And I've lived in the UK before. So I am comfortable, more comfortable there than he is here. But I'm really hesitant and I'm kind of wanted to hear your thoughts on the situation, if I'm considering everything I should be, because I'm really concerned about the fact that he is still going to be out working away and I'm not going to have my friends and my family, because that was like the biggest thing that I was scared of, or that I was more troubled with when I lived abroad. And the plan is for him to transition out and to get a job where he would be home a lot more. But that's not really the case as of yet. And we're not planning on doing this anytime soon, but it's been like consuming my everyday life, thinking about like what I want to do.
Sure.
So
your boyfriend, everything's going pretty well. He has a unique job where he's at sea for periods of time and then he's at home. So it's kind of this intermittent relationship.
Yeah.
You guys want to, you know, settle down in a place. You are empathizing with him. He doesn't speak Spanish in a Spanish-speaking country, so he doesn't know as many people. You're more open-minded to the UK, but your concern is that while he's at sea, you have no one, and you're going to be bored and lonely, and is that maybe a huge mistake? Is my understanding that?
Yes. Am I like setting everything up for failure, kind of?
Well, listen, here's the thing. You're considering taking a big risk, right?
Yeah.
Now, if it weren't for his unique job, let's say he was like an accountant and just worked, let's say he worked from home.
Yeah.
What would how would you see the situation then?
I guess it would be a lot easier because we would be together a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little bit worried because I do have friends there, but everyone lives like, you know, all scattered. And
are friends a big part of your life?
Yeah.
You like
I'm like very dedicated.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's a big risk either way. And you just decide if you want to take that risk. I think you can, this situation you're in, you can look at it two different ways, right? If you're going to move to a new country without knowing a lot of people and only know your boyfriend, you are just going to be more codependent on each other. There's an argument to be made that you only knowing him and let's say he worked from home, that he would actually stop you from making friends. Not that he would stop you, but like it's just harder to like branch out in general, and it's just easier to resort back to what's comfortable, and he would be the comfortable thing. So I could make the argument that the fact that if him having this unique job in the beginning periods of this potential move could push you into like really getting out there to try to make friends, because friends in general is important for you to have. And if you end up settling down in the UK, you're going to want to make friends. If friends are important to people, even if you're in a marriage with kids, like it's nice to have friends and other people to hang out with outside of the relationship. And that might be the thing that pushes you. You might get lonely and frustrated, and there definitely will be some like moments of being like, oh, why the fuck am I here? But that might propel you to like drive a little further to hang out with a friend or try something you haven't tried before, because like you don't want to sit home by yourself. You just have to ask yourself, are you that type of person to do that, right? Because some people wouldn't. Some people would be like, I know me. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put myself out there. I'm not going to go out of my way to make friends. I'm just going to be lonely. And so like that would be hard. Other people would be like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to feel lonely, but like I don't like being lonely. So like I'll be more outgoing. I'll keep myself preoccupied. I'm going to move to this place and, you know, he probably will have some friends and you'll start, you know, you said you have some friends there. So like when you get there, you'll go hang out with those friends and maybe make a drive, but like just start networking and that's right. Have people that introduce you to other people and like over time it'll happen. But him being at sea will give you more free time to make friends.
That's very true.
So that is just a different way to look at the same problem.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that solves your problem, but I think it should take the worry away from being like, I don't think your big problem in this decision is the fact that he has this job and that you will feel lonely, because eventually it sounds like the plan is for him not to do this. And the only reason to make this move is because you think this person could be your person and this is a long-term solution to make this relationship work.
I agree. And you're right. And I think part of the reason that maybe it's scary is because like my friends have been my friends my whole life.
Yeah.
Like my friends are like my friends from like when I was little. And same with like my family. Like I'm really concerned about this, like not being able to be part of their lives.
Yeah. I mean, I have 10 siblings, and I didn't move out of Milwaukee. Well, I grew up in Milwaukee, right? And I always felt like, and I loved Milwaukee. It's still home to me. Like, it's, you know, still root for all the teams. But I always felt like I wanted to be in a bigger city. I always felt like, for me personally, Milwaukee wasn't where I needed to settle down. But being the oldest of 11 kids, I always was like, oh, I don't want to be like an uncle to my siblings and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm afraid, like, my friends, and I have very close friends in Milwaukee. And I relate to that feeling. And it's all worked out for me. But you got to live your life for you. And these friends that you've had, these lifelong friends in your family, it's never been easier to stay connected with people all over the world, just no matter how much of a priority you make it. If you move, you will definitely lose touch with some people. 100, that's a certainty, right? But the relationship might evolve. It just might change. It's like your friendships are always going to evolve, regardless if you live in the same city or not. You know, if you settle down with your boyfriend in Costa Rica, and you guys have kids and your friends have kids, you'll be preoccupied and be busy with your family and friends, and you'll meet other people, and like you might lose touch regardless. So
yeah, that's true.
This is all to say is that, you know, there's no clear answer. Either way, this is going to be a risk. But these fears that you have, I think, while understandable, I don't think they should stop you from, you know, trying to make this thing work if you think it's worth it, if it's a priority. And listen, it might not work out. You can always move back to Costa Rica. You can't predict the future. So stressing yourself out now for something that's not going to happen in the near future, and then worrying about whether it's going to work out or not, like, you, no matter what, you know that if you move, there's going to be some sadness of saying goodbye. There's going to be some discomfort with being a little bit lonely, some discomfort of trying to put yourself out there and make friends. That is a certainty. You know that. So the big question is like, do you want to do that? The rest, you don't really know. You don't know who you're going to make friends with. You don't know what jobs you guys are going to have in the future. You don't know if the relationship's going to be here 5 years from now. That's life. And we, you know, it's like, we'd like to know, but we just don't know. So you just have to put yourself in the best position possible and then just decide what you want to do. But I get the sense that maybe moving is a decent option for you. And while you might be sad saying goodbye to friends, you don't have to say goodbye to them forever. You can certainly visit. You can keep in touch. So you give them excuse to travel. And you just, sometimes we just have to take big risks for big rewards.
Yeah. No, I know, you're right. It's just very daunting because, I don't know, I'm just very hesitant to, like, how sure you have to be to make these sort of decisions, because it feels very permanent. I know you're saying, like, it's not, but, you know, like, I have a dog and I have to sell everything and, like, moving and everything.
It's not, yeah. It's one thing I've learned in life is that nothing's really permanent. I mean, I remember, like, that analogy I use about moving. It's just like, I was like, oh, moving is such a daunting task. And then I moved and I was like, well, that was easy.
I lived in Australia for a year, and like when I moved there, I didn't know anybody. And as much as it's like scary at times, and like, yeah, there's like some low lows, I think, at the very beginning, but it is so satisfying, like seeing the life that you build for yourself. So regardless of what happens with this relationship, I think knowing that you moved to a new country and you found community and you built a little world for yourself will be empowering and will be something that you can take with you regardless of the outcome of the relationship that might have inspired the move. And also, Facebook groups are really good for meeting people. There's a ton of, like, you know, various, from various like nationalities, or whether it's like interest oriented. And I think that can be like, especially when you first get there and you know zero people, going to certain like meetups like that. It's really sweet to see how like these people that you just happen to meet on the internet become close friends. And I think you will really thrive and be proud of yourself.
I've also found that like moving to a new city where no one knows you allows you to like judge yourself less for taking risks and just trying new things. Because I feel like when we get comfortable in our communities where we grew up and our friends, like, you know, we're very self-aware of what our friends and family think about us. And if we want to try something new or be adventurous, we're so quick to like look around and being like, is this okay? Do I want to do this? And when when I moved to a new city, I'd have dinner by myself at restaurants, and I'd walk into a bar by myself. And like, if I did that in my hometown, I'd feel like such a loser. I'd be like, why am I showing up? But I was like, I don't know anyone. And and so I can do this. And when someone says, why are you here by yourself? I'd be like, I don't know. I just moved. I don't know. And you know what people do? And they're like, oh, come on, join the club. They're all very inviting. So, you know, when you move, you can be more adventurous, and you can tell people, I just moved here. And you will find people who will take you under their wing and be excited to, like, you know, introduce you to their friends. And it can be a very exciting time. But, you know, as far as like you wanting to be sure, I mean, the biggest thing is about this relationship. How healthy is this relationship? You know, how do you make each other feel? Like, do you really think this is your person? Do you communicate well? Or are you supportive of one another? Like, when things are rough, do you feel like he goes out of his way to be empathetic to you and like really listen? And especially when you're lonely, because those are the things that matter. And when things get tough, those are the things that you need. And so I would focus on the qualities you have in this relationship that allow you guys to deal with conflict and stress and communication. And as long as those are strong, then you have as good a chance as any relationship to make it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that I'm really sure about, is that I feel like we are in very good, like a solid ground of our relationship, especially because when he's home, I like see him all day. I work from home and he's home all day. So I've been able to really see how we are with each other. So that's really good. But obviously there's always like the hesitation of like, well, things can change at any point, or
they can. Even you can fly anywhere in the world in 24 hours. Like, you can literally, you can move home. Like, you could break up, be heartbroken, live in the UK, and 2 days later you can be back at home with your friends. I know it sounds daunting, and yeah, like there will be some costs and crazy things, but truly you can hop on a plane and be anywhere in the world in 24 hours.
Yeah.
And when you think about it like that, it's like, fuck it. Why not? YOLO. Let's live some life. Try
it. It's such a brave thing to do. Yeah. And I think it would feel really good to know, like, to just know that you're doing that for yourself and that you're being really brave. And even when it's hard, you're still sticking it out and growing.
I have a hard time believing that if you were to move and do this, and let's say your relationship with your boyfriend doesn't work out, short of some catastrophe we can't predict or something, I have a hard time believing you will regret it either way. I think even if you moved and it didn't work out, you will have made friends that you will have forever. You'll have new experiences that you'll always remember. And even if you move back home, you will value that time as a really unique, fun time in your life. Even if some of that time is filled with sadness about a breakup.
You're right.
And I feel like I recently, like, I play everything so safe. And something I've been trying to like push myself on now is, like, what's going to be in like the memoir that you write one day, or what's going to be the fun stories that you tell your grandkids? And even if, like Nick said, you go and something happens and there's heartbreak and there's sadness, you're going to be talking to your grandkids one day and say, well, when your grandma moved across the world and then, you know, this happened, but I rallied and I found these people and I found new love, or I chose myself and then I went to Paris. Like, those are the kind of stories that you're going to look back on, as opposed to maybe just being like, well, you know, I did the responsible, safe thing and stayed put.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of our best stories that we have about our past are moments when we felt the most discomfort in the present.
No, that's true. And I feel like that's something that it's actually really helpful to remember, because my family doesn't really understand that. Like, the culture here is very much like, you grow up here, you develop here, you stay here forever. And that's not me. Like, what you're saying is, it really resonates with me. Like, I really like the adventure and the side of like being able to go out and like experience the world. But like, it's kind of being met with resistance from my family. But like what you're saying is a really good
All of my argument. Close friends that I grew up with, that I still consider my best friends, they all live within 30 miles from where they grew up. And that's great. They have very happy lives. It's just not the life I wanted to live for myself. And I still keep in touch and get to see them. And we've all just accepted each other's lives that we've chosen for ourselves.
This was really helpful.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, let us know whenever you make the move, how it's going.
Yeah, I definitely will. And if I'm not having a great time, you will know.
All right.
All you can blame us.
You can blame us. Yeah, for sure.
We're rooting for you, and this is exciting.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Pots and pans. Let me tell you about the pots and pans that I've been using since I've owned my home. Caraway. It's the only thing I cook in. I have two sets of Caraway pots and pans. I have gray and green. And with Caraway's non-toxic cookware and bakeware collection, you can make healthier cooking a piece of cake. I love their pots and pans. I have a frying pan. I have a saute pan. All sets come equipped with easy access storage solutions, so no stacking is required. Gone are the days of misplacing your lids. Ceramic naturally slick surface means minimal oil or butter for slide off the pan eggs and easy cleaning. Over 25,000 people have raved about their Caraway kitchen, and I am one of them. Now it's time for you to try it yourself. That's right. Visit carawayhome.com/VIALL to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners, so visit carawayhome.com/VIALL or use code VIALL at checkout. Caraway, non-stick cookware made modern. How's it going?
Hi, my name is Isabel, and I'm 27.
Hi, Isabel. How can I help?
I don't want to be a fuckboy, but I have a question for you about a friends with benefits relationship.
Okay.
So to start, I am currently going through a breakup. I broke up with my ex about a month ago. We were together for about 7 months. And though it
was, what do you mean you're currently going through it?
Because I'm dealing with the emotional repercussions of the breakup at the moment still.
Well, how so?
I am still feeling pretty sad about the ending of the relationship. It was a pretty special connection for both me and my ex. And though it wasn't a long relationship, I'm definitely still feeling some acute feelings of grief and loss.
Gotcha. So you're broken up, but you're mourning the loss of the breakup.
Exactly. Okay. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. It also was, it lasted like a couple weeks, the breakup did. So it was a little bit of a drawn out process. So since that happened, I decided to kind of focus on myself, and I've been making some positive changes in my life, and things have been going pretty well. I did meet a new guy about 2 weeks ago. We met on the street.
You've been broken up for a month with the other person.
Correct. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So you're dealing it with it pretty well.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this new guy, he asked me out, and I said yes. I was feeling some chemistry, and I decided to go for it. There was about a week of time in between when I met this new guy and when we were going to go out because he was traveling. And during that week of time, I was feeling some anxiety about going on a date with a new person. And I was also kind of still feeling some sadness about not being with my ex. In addition to that, the new guy had been pretty forward in his interest in me. He had been constantly checking in with me about how I was doing. He had called me at one point while he was on vacation with his family, even though we had talked for about 10 minutes when we met. So it was pretty overwhelming. And because of that and the anxiety that I was dealing with about going out on a date with someone else, I decided to cancel it. And he suggested that we still hang out as friends, which we did.
The new guy
and I, yes, we decided to just be friends, and then we hung out just as friends.
Mm-hmm. And then he had sex.
Exactly.
Because he definitely, I mean, did you believe him?
I think I was telling myself that things would be okay because I am a relatively new transplant to the city that I live in, and I am definitely in the market for some friends. So I
hear you. But a guy asks you on a date. He's rather like assertive with his interest in you. You decline the date, and he's like, "Let's just be friends." But truthfully, it's probably what you needed to hear because you canceled the date because you felt like he was applying too much pressure, and it was more about like him taking the pressure off, even though his interest level in you was literally still the same.
Yeah.
I don't know what that says, but that's more the reality.
Yeah. I think I was just telling myself that it'll all be fine.
It will all be fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. And I think I was trying to take a step forward in getting over the relationship and thinking that that might be a good way to do that. But after the sexual experience happened, I started feeling a little bit anxious again, and wasn't sure if I was interested in continuing the relationship with him because he's definitely more invested in it than I am. And I don't see anything more than just a friends with benefits situation with this guy. So I feel like I'm being a fuckboy here a little bit. I also wanted to say that I broke up with my ex because I was looking for more of a commitment than he was willing to give me. Mm. I don't want to waste my time in a friends with benefits relationship.
How much hope, if at all, do you still have that the ex is going to wake up and come around?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I had none, but I don't think at this moment that's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I like if he.
Listen, came like, listen, I love that you have hope, but still decided to do something about it. Most people in your shoes will be hopeful and just sit there and wait around and hope it changes, but you took things into your own hands and did the hard thing and ended a relationship with someone you loved because you weren't getting what you want. So good for you. And the fact that you remain hopeful is natural and normal. But now you have the freedom to be a fuckboy while also being hopeful. Like, how wonderful options.
Yeah. I didn't think about it like that.
I think you're being a little hard. Yeah, well, this is great. I think you're being a little hard on yourself. So you know he likes you or you think he likes you?
I know he does.
And what does he like about you?
That's something that I'm a little worried about too. I think he's a little bit infatuated because we have only gone out, we've only hung out 2 times. I met him on the street and we talked for about 10 minutes. And we've had sex a couple times. So it isn't, there's
like
a huge basis here.
Is sex good?
Yeah.
Sex is good. Okay.
Yes, very.
Very good. Have you said this to him? Hey, what do you like about me?
I have not asked him that exact question, no.
Yeah, I think someone in your position who is a little hesitant about someone's excitement that they're having for you and you're unsure about how you feel about them, especially if you're considering like stopping it, ask. Be like, I mean, you say you like me, but like, what do you mean? Because like, I'll be honest, we just met. And so I don't really know. I mean, I know we've seen each other naked and we're having sex, whatever, hookup culture, but like, I'm glad you're excited. I'm flattered, but like, one, just so you know, I'm just gonna be real with you. I got out of a relationship. Tell him why. I wanted more from him. So like, if I'm being totally candid, I'm a little hopeful. I don't think it's gonna happen, but like, I'm not completely over it. I just had to choose myself, and this is me choosing myself. I don't tell him. Yeah. You know, I don't know what he's gonna say to that, but you have no reason not to tell him.
I did tell him that I'm getting over a past relationship, but I didn't go into that.
I think you should be specific about what you mean by that.
Okay.
Yeah. Only if you want him to know. You don't have to tell him anything.
Sure.
Because when you said, like, I think of a fuckboy, right? Like, in my opinion, I think everyone today who is dating, who participates in hookup culture, is a fuckboy. And by participates in hookup culture, I mean is willing to have sex with someone they don't have an established emotional connection with. And by emotional connection, I mean someone they truly know and trust how that person feels about them and how they feel about the other person. That means they're not wondering how they like them. They're not wondering if they'll call. They're not worried about like being judged for a bad habit they have. There's an established rapport that takes time to build. And if you are willing to date and have sex with someone before that time, you're in hookup culture. And right. Given that, you have the risk of being someone else's fuckboy because someone can start liking you and you cannot like them back by still participating in sex. And then that leads to confusion and someone feeling like they got fuckboyed by a fuckboy. So the answer to your question is, yeah, like you're at the risk of being a fuckboy to him, but like, you know, it'll be fine. You're trying to be communicative. You're like, you're trying to get ahead of it, right? So like all you can do is communicate. So tell him where you're coming from. Tell him about the past relationship. He says he likes you. You're not sure how you feel about him. So challenge him on, but like, well, okay, you've known me for 2 days. What exactly are you so excited about? Because like, I'd be excited to meet me too, but, and I want you to be excited, but like, if you're okay with us hanging out, sex is great, by the way, congratulations on your dick. It's great. But like, I'm just not emotionally there. So like, I don't want to lead you on. And
And if you're excited, then maybe we shouldn't have sex. Now, with all, if you, as long as you give him all the information, you're giving him the power to decide for himself. Now, a lot of people in that, in those shoes might lie to themselves and say that they're okay with something they're not okay with. Like, he's okay. Like, he's already shown that he's okay. I didn't really believe him, but he might have lied to himself too. He might have lied to himself and told himself, I'll just be friends with her. All right. So he's already shown you a willingness to lie to himself, kind of, maybe, potentially. So it wouldn't shock me, even though you set a boundary, but that's his problem. At a certain point down the line, if you decide to keep hanging out with him and having sex with him, as you do get to know him, you will be able to sense that he might be really actually liking you and developing feelings for you that go beyond just being excited about you for the first couple of dates. And you might have to then be the person that says, we should end this because I haven't evolved my feelings for you and yours keep evolving and it just feels like disproportionate to the direction we're going emotionally. And so then you might need to end it. But I think you're being a little hard on yourself to feel like you have to end it now at the risk that like you someone that he could call you a fuckboy.
Yeah. And of course being called a fuckboy is like neither here nor there, yeah. But I mean, want to make sure that I'm being as respectful of him as possible, but you're right, I'm not responsible for his emotions or his behavior.
You're not. All you can do is be honest and give him a chance to be honest with himself. And down the line, you may have to decide for yourself that he hasn't been honest with himself. And that's why you might end the hooking up part. But also you might learn to, you might fall in love with him. I don't know.
Do you think that being in a casual situation after a breakup, when there are definitely still emotions involved, is in general a helpful thing to do?
I think it's something to do. Sure. I think it's bad or good. Your situation is pretty clear. You wanted to be with your ex. He wasn't willing to give you what you wanted. And you made the very difficult decision to choose yourself and step away. And that's really hard to do. And I think you should like give yourself a ton of credit for doing that. And like try your best to have some fun. And if that means having some good sex, then good for you. Right? Like you're trying to already get ahead of it, communicate. Like, you're not, this is not a toxic situation. You met a guy who's excited about you, who also knows nothing about you, and he's getting a little ahead of himself. And so all you can do now is just further communicate with him where you're coming from so he has a clear picture and give him an opportunity to decide what he wants to do for himself. And then, like I said, down the line, you might have to reevaluate whether, you know, like, again, because he has shown a willingness to kind of convince himself he's okay with something he might not be okay with. But in the meantime, go have some fun. Like, go date.
All right.
And then like, and if this gets too complicated, shut it down with him and go back on the apps. But there's nothing wrong with dating. Because like, and I say that because like, if you could have what you wanted right now, you'd have your ex.
Yeah.
And you've accepted, and you've done the very difficult thing of accepting things that you can't control, which is his willingness to want to be with you. So all you can do is live your life. So go live your life. You know, you don't have to wait till like you're completely over it to like go on a date and have some sex. Like there's nothing that's going to change. Like you can't change his mind. So like just go live your life and only time will help you in meeting more people and time away from the ex will like further help you get over the ex. So I think you're doing everything great.
Well, great. Okay. That's good to hear.
Yeah. That's all I got to say.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, thank you. I listen to this very regularly, so I'm glad that we were able to chat. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for making me feel like I'm giving good advice and someone's taking it out there.
Definitely.
Yeah. Good for you. All right. Well, congratulations. And yeah, again, don't be afraid to feel good about your very difficult decisions you had to make for yourself because they're not easy to do.
All right. I will.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
Katie.
Hi, Katie.
And I'm 29.
How can I help?
So I wrote in originally. I have two guys that I'm kind of in between right now.
Right.
So I'll give you a background of each one. So in June of 2020, so right in the pandemic, I met a guy. We'll call him Jay. And he was separated from his wife, but he lived, like had his own apartment. They were fully separated. So we went out a few times and then we slept together fairly quickly, which was fine. And then we only talked about like 3 or 4 weeks, he actually found out that he had cancer. They decided that he's going to get back with his wife and their child and try and make it work. And, you know, they were just going to see if they could make it work again, considering everything going on. So he deleted all the social media accounts, not blocked me. He just deleted everybody. Like, I think he just needed some time. So there was that. And then I'm going to say July of 2021, I met somebody else. We'll call him B. And he and I started talking. We hung out with each other's friends. We got along. We talked for a while. And then there was one night I met him and his friends out at a bar. And, well, let me preface this. He's someone who says that he has a lot of friends that are girls. He's like a guy that has a lot of girlfriends. And so we...
Something to note. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're at this bar and it's... none of my friends are there. It's all of his friends and him. And he like gets up and goes inside because we were outside. He comes back. He like doesn't say anything about like where he was. And then not even 5 minutes later, he gets up again, leaves, not telling me where he's going. And he's gone for like a long time. So I'm just sitting there talking to his friends, like not thinking anything. I have his phone. I have his wallet. And eventually I look inside and he's sitting at the bar talking to another girl. And so it's fairly new. And normally...
Is this
I'm
like,
okay with some.
How many dates have you been on at this point?
Like 4 or 5.
Okay.
And I've met his friends and he's met mine. I kind of got upset and I was like, I don't really care for that. Like, we're still like starting out and you're just like leaving me with your friends to go talk to another girl, which it was his friend and whatever, you know, he has all these friends that are girls. So I just kind of cut it there because I was like, I don't know if we like mesh well. Like, at least give me a heads up of where you're going. And then November of 2021, me and B started talking again as friends. We started sleeping together. He's like not sure what he wants, but like when we're together, he acts like we're dating. You know, he pays for all the things. We go and do things. He helps me get things out of my storage, all of that. So that's where that is. Well, about a month ago, Jay, the first guy, popped back up.
Cancer's gone and he realized he hates his wife.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, he beat colon cancer and... that he's officially divorced.
Okay.
He popped back on all my social medias. Not like he added me, like it was just like someone you may know. So I added him back and we've hung out a few times. And I just like don't know what to do with both of them because I really enjoy my time with B, but my connection with Jay is very different. It's more intense.
I would imagine the guys had to face the possibility of dying in divorce. My guess is Jay is more willing and capable to really have some serious and intimate conversations because fuck, man, when you deal with loss, like that's why like, you know, people I think who have dealt with broken hearts or whatever are better at like opening up and going deeper and with conversations because they've had to deal internally with some shit. And obviously I can only imagine what it would be like to get diagnosed with cancer and have to go through that and fight. But like, it's not surprising to hear that you have a deeper intimate connection with Jay than with B, the fuck boy with a lot of friends who are women.
Yeah. And he like, I more so don't know what to do with B because like I said, like when we're together, he acts like we're dating. But then yeah, we have conversations privately.
How often do you listen to this show? I'm going to start asking this.
Very often.
What do I say when it comes to like, they act like they're dating?
It's like friends with benefits.
No, it's meaningless. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Is it hard to go out to dinner with people? Paying for a meal? Like, what is that? Doing a favor? It's not being a boyfriend. That's just doing things.
Yeah. And we don't even like talk every day. It's not like we're in constant communication.
Being a boyfriend is being a boyfriend, or being a girlfriend is to be it. That a big part of being a boyfriend or a girlfriend is that commitment, that wanting to do it. Acting like a boyfriend, this is a hill I'm dying on, because it's just like we take all these like things that we qualify as acting like a boyfriend. So like, have you ever had a platonic friend where you've met their family?
Yeah.
Does that mean all of a sudden they were acting like your boyfriend?
No.
You just met their family. Have you had a friend who pay for a meal?
Yeah.
Or go to Target with, you know, yeah. Or just like hang out and go to a movie. Doesn't matter. They don't want to be your boyfriend. They're just hanging out. They enjoy your company.
That's what he says all the time.
Well, that's what it is. It's not even a matter of
opinion. I enjoy your company.
It's not even a matter of opinion. It's just that's just a fact. That's what he's doing. He's enjoying your company. It's not that he's acting like your boyfriend. Acting like your boyfriend is to say, I don't want to sleep with other people. I want to commit to you. I want to have expectations with one another. So yeah, he's not acting like your boyfriend. You're two people hanging out at each other's convenience, sometimes having sex at each other's convenience, and helping each other pass the time at each other's convenience. That is not acting like your boyfriend.
So like, do I cut him off?
Well, I don't know. What do you want? I mean, I cut him off for what? Do you want to date Jay? I mean, what do you want? If right now, you're a genie in a body. I'm a genie. I can make a wish come true as it relates to just these two people. But you can only have one, or you can have none, but you can have anything you want within those two, within those parameters. What would you want?
I'd like to see where things go with Jay.
Okay, so you're over B. Okay, so then
I
do that.
Didn't realize I was.
Till when?
You know what I mean?
No, I don't know.
Like, so I mean, like, I didn't realize, because I've been only been hanging out with B for months, and I haven't seen anybody else just because for a lack of trying, pretty much.
Okay. And what stopped you from pursuing something with this B guy?
He doesn't know what he wants. He says it all the time. I don't know what I want exactly. But also he says things like, I do see potential in us dating.
Well, that's literally saying nothing. I see potential in us possibly dating. Okay. Till next time someone says it to you, but that was the most useless thing anyone's ever said anything to me.
I will.
And they'll be like, what do you mean? Be like, the possibility of what? Like, what the fuck? I don't. Well, it sounds like, you know, it sounds like you can have what you want then. So shut it down. I mean, like, this is maybe a good thing. So, like, would you date B if he wanted to? If B called you up today and said, change my mind, I want you.
I don't know because of Jay.
Okay. So you don't know.
But I think if Jay called me and was like, let's do this, I'd be like, okay.
What do you know about Jay? Other than the fact that, like, he might, you know, understandably so, might be a bit reactionary and will lean on people he's most comfortable with and maybe even use them while certainly, again, facing possible death, totally understand. But nevertheless, he did drop his wife once he was healthy. That did happen.
I mean, yeah, they went through therapy and did all the things for their issues, but it just didn't work out, I guess. But I don't know. I just...
What's your question? Like, are you looking for permission? Are you trying to help me, like, suss it out? Like, you have two situations that a lot of unknowns. You know a little bit more about B than Jay. You seem like you have a more interest in Jay, but, like, from what I'm hearing, a lot of it might be you have created a story in your head, which might turn out to be true. It's like falling in love on The Bachelor. It's just like, yeah, these feelings are real, but I don't know how much, like, foundation are really, like, propping up this feeling I'm having. And I'm just going to have to take a leap of faith and find out. And that's what you have with Jay, it sounds like to me. With B, you have a little bit more information. Like, he's just a fuck boy who doesn't want to commit, and you're kind of over it.
Would it be bad to see them both for a little bit until I figure out what is going on, or should I?
Bad? I don't know. I mean, it sounds like you and B have not committed to not sleeping with other people.
You've both
have done one of those kind of immature things of pointing out of sheer convenience that you're not sleeping with other people. And what you've both given the other person is the opportunity to call the other person out when the other person starts sleeping with someone else and you find out and they go, wait, but we said we weren't sleeping with other people. And the truth is, well, we didn't say we weren't going to. We just said we aren't. And I would be shocked if he doesn't throw that in your face. And, you know, let's be honest. Like, if he started sleeping with someone else, would you maybe throw it in his face too?
Yeah, I would want to be. I would want to know if he was. Like,
so, I mean, is it bad? It's not the most honest and forward thing to do. I mean, so, like, you just have to decide for yourself, like, how high is your character? And I'm not saying that as like a judgment thing, like. You just have to decide for yourself. Do you, like, if you would want to, you know, do, treat people how you want to be treated. So if you would want him to tell you if he started sleeping with someone else so that you could decide for yourself whether you want to have protected or unprotected sex or be intimate with someone who's also sleeping with other people, then give him the same courtesy you want for yourself. If you wouldn't want to know, then, you know, I guess you have the option of not telling him.
I would want to know.
But what is, let me ask you this, what's the point of continuing to hang out with B at this point?
Like you said, convenience.
Well, it's starting to get inconvenient because now you like someone else.
Right. And I've kind of been exhausted from the dating world lately of like meeting somebody new.
I know. Or take a break. But you've settled that. Like, you've been fucking with this one guy. It's fine. He hasn't wanted to commit to you. And for now, you've been putting up with him giving you less than what you want. That's a choice you made. Now you're willing to end it. That might, like, I don't know, who knows? Who knows how he's going to react to that? And I don't know how much that's going to change your mind. I think you're better off shutting it down. You might as well use this opportunity. You might as well use your interest in Jay to maybe, like, you know, reset B and see how he reacts to you liking someone else.
That's true.
Might change how you feel about B.
Right.
It sounds like you're really curious about Jay. So no matter what happens, you're going to give Jay like first dibs and like winning your heart. But like proceed with caution with Jay because you're really excited. You have very little information. Well, yeah, that alone can cause you to be hurt and blindsided. So I think sleeping with them both is an option, but I don't know if that really gets you anywhere. And it's just a little messy. And it's just like, you're just kind of being greedy and having your cake and eat it too. And if the worst thing that happens is you say goodbye to B, you try things out with Jay, you realize that's not going to work out. Yeah, you're back to square one. But like, we're always back to square one until we find the one. You know, like...
Yeah, I think that's what I was worried about is like, if I cut it off with B and it doesn't work out with Jay, then I've cut off, you know.
I feel like B will always be down to have sex.
Yeah, probably.
So, and if you like, if you shut him down, you're going to trigger his ego and you taking him back just to have some sex. I'm going to go ahead and guess he will be open to that. And if he says no to that and he grows up and he, you know, and he's able to like check his ego a little bit, all you're not getting is sex with him.
All right. Well, I will do that then.
All right.
I'm just going to go ahead and cut it.
Sounds good.
All right.
Be honest with
him.
Just tell him you met someone else.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.